and hello and goodbye. How nice it is to do face-to-face business with people sometimes. But, of course, with many small businesses, people in general, artists that we've had into the studio, are now recognising the importance of social media and social commerce to grow their enterprises. Well, one person who you may recognise has got a very famous voice is that of Peter Dixon of X Factor and Britain's Got Talent. He's always there. He's our voice we most like to hear on the telly. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Sue, and you'll be relieved. I'm sure your listeners will be relieved that I don't talk like that all the time.
That's all right.
Don't worry, I'm not going to shout at you.
Now, you also have, you know, run your own business as well, not only are you using your voice, but you've got a small business as well. What kind of thing do you do?
Well, I've got two businesses. The first business is me. I'm the business.
Yep.
I run myself in a very, hopefully, in a very business-like way. And the second business I have is a business called Squidgy Pig, which grew, and everybody
laughed
at the name.
Squidgy Pig, go on.
It's basically a digital agency that I started with my business partner. And how it came about was, about 4 years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who happened to be a creative director at a big London advertising agency. And I was talking to him, well, he knew what I did, and we were talking about how I advertise, what I do, how I market myself. And he said to me, you know, you should really consider yourself as a brand. I said, really? I'd never considered myself as a brand. Never saw myself on the shelf at Tesco or Sainsbury's. But yes, the more I thought about it, yes, it made sense. I mean, in order for any business to be kind of seen in a very crowded, busy marketplace, you have to create a definite brand identity, even if it's just you as an individual or a business that you're providing a service, or maybe you're manufacturing products. You've got to create a brand for yourself, create a definite image that give customers a reason to come to your shop. So I set about working out how I was going to do this, and I thought social media was a great way to start because, first of all, it's free and it's effective. So I started by creating a website for myself, which I put on online, and then I joined Twitter. I opened a Twitter account, and I joined Facebook. All of those things, apart from the website, there was a small expense there, but the other two are absolutely free. And lo and behold, after a short while, I suddenly found myself with 30,000 followers. I don't know who half of them are, but I interact and engage with them on a daily basis. And it's been a fantastic experience for me, and certainly has impacted on the bottom line for the businesses that I run. And because it was so successful, Sue, I started another company to help other people in the entertainment business look after their social media and online needs. And we look after people like Harry Hill and Scott Mills and Radio 1. And you know, it's growing as a business from a very small beginnings, and hopefully it'll, you know, be able to help people get to where they want to be.
Yeah. Many young artists that we have coming in here, you know, they do their self-releases of their albums, and, you know, they're out there getting their gigs and everything. Their social media is hugely important to them. And I think it takes a little bit of time for people to kind of get used to it. I mean, last night we had the lovely Hannah Scott in here, who luckily had been in The Guardian. But as soon as she'd, you know, taken photographs, her and her cello player, they had their iPhones out and said, right, okay, we'll send that one because that one looks better and blah 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 blah. And I took a photograph of them doing social media in real time.
Yes.
Because it just made me laugh. But you can become a little bit obsessive with it, can you not?
You can. Oh, you've got to watch that. I think, you know, there's a fine line between being obsessed and spending too much time doing it and not spending enough time doing what you need to be doing, which is, you know, providing your service and manufacturing what you make. I spend probably about 5-10 minutes a day maximum on my social media. It doesn't have to be any more onerous than that, but the benefits outweigh the disadvantages manyfold. Just this week I heard that the sales of e-books have overtaken physical product book sales for the first time. Businesses that ignore social media and social commerce really are putting themselves at a disadvantage. I'm not saying they're never going to sell any more product or services, but they're not fully engaged with the way the modern world works. And I think the sooner that you, a business, can get involved and start taking social media seriously and spend a little bit of time on it, then the better that they will be in the long run. Interestingly, Groupon, a company that all of us may know, have conducted a survey in which they identified that a quarter of those surveyed lacked confidence in using social media. They are generally the people that we call digital immigrants, digital natives. Anyone under 30 basically is pretty au fait with this sort of stuff. And over half of the people surveyed, interestingly, said they'd find it too time-consuming, just what we talked about earlier.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be either of those things, but there's plenty of help you can get to help you overcome any sort of mental obstacles you have. But it's really worthwhile.
Yeah. The thing is, though, because it is a, you know, with the advent of the internet and the social media, it makes, yes, it gives you kind of like a global coverage as well. But then you've got to be able to target things, haven't you, to where you want to go with your business. So, for instance, as an artist like yourself, you know, how do you do that?
Well, I don't look on it as selling anything. I don't know about you, but I don't like being sold stuff. I generally try and kind of engage people in conversation, you know, and I tell them what I'm doing, and people seem to like that. I don't know why. It's just like I look on it as a great conversation at a very big pub, if you like.
Mm.
I'm just having a conversation at the bar, saying, "Oh, I did this today. That was brilliant. I met so and so. He's a lovely bloke. By the way, I've got my Pocket Announcer product app is out, and if you like what I do, then go here. Or if you want me to do your voicemail, go to my website. You know, My Ruddy Voice. I've got other things that I can talk about."
Yeah.
And people like that. You know, they like sort of to feel that they're able to talk to you. And the other good thing about it is that people tell you what they don't like and what they do like about your service or product. You know, and I've got many followers on Twitter. Some of them were just followers. Some of them have actually turned into customers. So you know, I work with Twitter. My Twitter followers in countries as far afield as America, Canada,
wow,
the Middle East, and Dubai, and all that business has been generated through Twitter and Facebook, and it's an amazingly powerful tool if you use it correctly.
Yeah. What about small businesses then in the Northamptonshire area? What do they reckon about it? Are they embracing social media?
Well, I think about half of them said they were embracing it. 90% of the respondents in your area said that they were they felt that there was a definite benefit to them being involved in social media and social commerce. They believed in the power of networks to increase their growth.
Mm.
So there's definitely a belief that it works. As I say, the main obstacles in most areas, not just in Northampton, but in across the UK, was that there was just a lack of confidence.
Mm.
and a mistaken belief, I believe, that they would find it too time-consuming.
Mm. It's just getting people to get targeted towards your website, really, isn't it? And I suppose that's where it starts, and it branches out from there.
Absolutely. Mm. And, you know, we're all a nation of... when you're buying something, we like recommendation, don't we? Word of mouth. My mother used to talk about word of mouth recommendations, you know, and your word is your bond and all that. But I think it's very important now in an increasingly faceless digital age. You know, if I'm buying a product, you know yourself, you go online, you do a bit of research, you ask some friends. On Twitter, I was buying a printer for my office the other day. I just went on and I said, "Anybody know of a good printer? I need it to do this, 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 and this." I had about 35 responses within seconds, all of them saying more or less the same printer that I needed. I went online, did some research, and hey, and pray presto, I bought that very printer because it had been recommended by people whose opinions I trusted and sought.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's the way it's going, and I even had an email from the printer company that manufactures the printer asking me if I was happy with it. So that's the other thing that you can do as a business. You know, you can interact with customers, whether they're complaining or praising your product or service. You get the chance to instantly put wrongs right or accept compliments and brickbats, you know, as they come.
Mm. It's very interesting the way it has grown, that we are all getting almost excited about it. Some people get obsessed by it, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've got two teenage boys. They spend the average is 6 hours a week on Facebook. They spend that practically per day on the website.
Yeah.
But no, that's the way it's going. My two teenagers don't watch TV hardly ever now.
Mm.
And they're not untypical of teenagers between, you know, 12 and 17 years old. Most of them don't watch television now. It's a strange thing for people, you know, particularly my age, who grew up on TV.
Mm.
I still watch it, but they don't. They'll be online. They'll get their entertainment online through Facebook, YouTube particularly. That's a huge draw for teenagers. So, you know, they more or less creating their own entertainment packages online and watching what they want to watch.
Yeah, it's great that choice is there in a way.
I mean, the BBC, for instance, this week have just launched the mobile download service for mobiles, like the iPlayer. Traditionally, you had to be connected to your Wi-Fi to watch it online, but now you can download it, watch it on the train, in an airplane, on your holidays. You can download all episodes of Doctor Who. It's almost racing away with us, this whole
I think the
technological advance.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is that mobile phones are becoming more like transistor radios used to be, you know? Everything I need
well,
to know.
Well, the mobile is the key to it, actually, Sue. That's where it's going. If you were...